This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We are about to speak to the president of the IFP, Velenkosini Hlabisa, looking into the private member's bill to parliament by the IFP, which has been submitted under the name of Lizelle van der Merwe. And this bill is about submissions to propose amendments to the Employment Services Act of 2014. Instead of theatrics and running around trying to do inspections and all of that, the IFP seems to be taking the route of doing something about it legally. So we'll talk about the objectives of the bill, how the IFP came to this decision as to amend this bill. At 11 o'clock, I will be in conversation with the secretary, provincial secretary of the Eastern Cape for the African National Congress, Lulama Nkaitobi, and we will talk about the assault that took place at Amatole District Municipality, where we saw Councillor Khulashe being assaulted. We have reached out to her as well to find time to speak to her here on the show. And then, of course, at 11:30, we will bring you Language Corner, the second lesson in isiXhosa. Those are all the beautiful things that we get to do here at Power Talk. Of course, the IFP also basing a lot of their arguments on reports by the Commission on for Employment Equity. So let's talk to the president of the IFP. Babu Hlabisa, a good morning to you. Always a pleasure. Welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning, Lukona, as well as the listeners of Power FM. In a new year, it is still relevant. Compliments of the new year to you, my brother.
Absolutely. Compliments of the new year to you, too. I always say until the 31st of January, we can be able to do this. Now, perhaps let's take a standpoint as the IFP. Of course, you are in society in various ways. What is it that led to you as the IFP, feeling the need to amend the Employment Services Act of 2014?
The IFP, Lukona, is a party that is based on people that always listen to the cry of the South Africans. The IFP, having noted the high unemployment rate in South Africa, having also noted that a narrative is there in the South African community that our jobs are being taken by foreign nationals, the IFP in 2020 decided to make something that will be constructive and proposed an amendment bill on, which is Employment Services Amendment Bill.
Mm.
This bill, its main intention is to regulate the employment of the foreign nationals. We want to put it on record. We are against xenophobia, but we are not apologetic that South Africans must come first on non-skilled and semi-skilled jobs where we have South Africans in abundance to do those jobs. Could it be in the restaurants, truck industry, construction industry, hospitality sector, in the mining sector, etc.? We believe the opportunity for jobs in these areas must be given to South Africans. Every sector must convince the government that the reason I hired the foreign national is because there is no South African who can do this job.
Mm.
Unless we regulate this scenario, we will always have a problem. The foreign nationals are being exploited by some of the employers, giving them little money, which does not make any difference in them but they are doing that at the expense of the South Africans. That is why we believed that a constructive way of dealing with this problem is to put this bill, and also there must be a control in our borders, because no country in Africa and in the world where borders are open to everyone to get in and out at his or her will. You can't be able even to plan for a population which you do not know how many people you have in the country. That is why we said the South African government must be constructive in dealing with this matter and put the South Africans first.
But Babu Hlabisa, in the proposed amendment bill, you also make an interesting proposal, which I suppose you want to use it as deterrence for employers not to exploit, you know, illegal foreigners, because you say that people who are in employment, and you'll correct me if I'm paraphrasing wrongly for what I read, but you say people who are in employment and, you know, may be illegal foreigners, but because they're in employment, they must be entitled to all the other claims available to them in legislation. So basically you are saying that an employer can't just cop out and say, no, but this is an illegal foreigner, therefore I can't register them for UIF, I can't register them for this and that. You are saying if that employer makes the, if I'm reading correctly, you are saying if the employer makes the mistake of taking advantage of an illegal foreigner, that illegal foreigner must be protected in law so that the employer doesn't get away with exploitation.
Definitely, Lucon, the proposal of the IFP, we believe in the Bill of Rights, that every person within the borders of South Africa must be treated fair and just. Every employer must be given full benefits that are enjoyed by any employer. Mm. But we are not forgetting that our priority should be South African. If we have foreign nationals who are qualified on specialized jobs, they must not be treated differently from the South African workers. They must be given all rights as workers in a country that promotes and believes in the Bill of Rights, but we are not saying that simply because we want to protect the foreign nationals. We believe that the system must be fair to everyone, but put South Africans first. First job must go to a South African, unless we do not have a person with a skill in that particular sector or industry.
Babu Hlabisa, I'm sure you would have seen the list that was published by the Minister of Home Affairs at some point last year, which was really to have us to be in conversation about what was deemed scarce skills. What was your view of it? Because some people looked at the list and said, but oh, come on, surely you can't say being a manager in this sector is a scarce skill, because there are people in South Africa who can fulfill those roles. What were your views when that list came out? And I wonder, how will you make sure that there is synergy between the process by the Minister of Home Affairs and the amendment bill to the Employment Services Act?
You see, Lukona, I definitely agree with you. In the list, there were some categories of jobs which are not specialized jobs, where we do not have the South Africans to fill those jobs. The South African government, we know, it has a guilty conscience because we have no control in our borders, because we have a weak government. The former president of the IFP, Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi, when he was a Minister of Home Affairs, he made a constructive proposal in terms of controlling the borders and immigration in our country. Mm. That proposal was not supported and accepted nor implemented simply because it came from the IFP, and the ruling party has a guilty conscience. We have the people we do not know how many they are in South Africa, because even when the census is done, the census does not take into account the foreign nationals, because some of them, they do not have the ID books. We have so many people who are undocumented in our country, but they benefit in many various ways. They benefit in social services, should it be health, if they want to go to clinic or hospital, they do, school, and in many social sectors, they benefit. Yet the government of South Africa is only planning for the people whom they know, who are the South Africans, yet the beneficiaries include the foreign national. That is why the minister, Thula Kungesi, will give something that is very vague and not honest to the truth, because they cannot stand up and say, put South Africans first. Because if they can do that, they should initiate a program. Every foreign national who is in South Africa not having a special skill should be assisted to go back to his or her respective country. Like all South Africans, you won't have South Africans spread all over in other countries as we speak, except people who went to exile for political reasons. And the people who are in South Africa as foreign nationals is not for political reasons, but they are seeking jobs. And sometimes when you learn of others, you learn that some have become millionaires in South Africa. This is what is robbing the South African citizens the opportunities, and the opportunities are being taken by foreign nationals and sometimes wrongly done by employees treating the foreign nationals as cheap labor at the expense of the South African.
Okay, Babu Hlabisa, I'm going to take a short ad break just to pay some bills. When we come back, I will deal with some of the points that you are making. You are proposing that there be a deletion of subsection 2 in the Act when you talk about amendments of section 1 of Act 4 of 2014, and you say it must be substituted. You talk about an employer being obliged to ensure that there is a transfer of skills in respect of any position in which a foreign national is employed. I know that your justification at the end of that amendment bill also points to the CEE reports, there where the Commission for Employment Equity seems to be pointing to the fact that in the band of semi-skilled jobs, there seems to be no transfer of skills to locals, hence that those numbers have been continuously growing over time. People of Power, I'm in conversation with the president of the IFP. They are proposing a private members bill to amend the Employment Services Act, at least to make sure that there's prioritization of South Africans on their jobs. We'll also get to the very nub of the difficult issue of ratio. When we say in the unskilled band of labor, what should be the ratio of South Africans over foreigners? Is there even a need for a ratio, or that should all be South Africans because those are unskilled jobs, which means you can receive on-the-job training? Well, we'll get to those things. You can be part of the conversation on 0861-987-000. It's 23 minutes past 10.
Power Talk on Power 98.7.
Indeed, it is Power Talk this morning, and we are looking at the IFP's proposal submitted by Member of Parliament Lizelle van der Merwe to be considered as part of the amendment of the Employment Services Amendment Bill. And of course, I've got the president of the IFP just taking us through in terms of the nitty-gritties of that area. My apologies, it is actually Section 8 of the Principal Act that subsection 2 is being proposed to be deleted. Babu Hlabisa, you have of course done a lot of reading of the Commission for Employment Equity reports over the years. At least that is part of your your base of departure in terms of the audit of employment and the people who are in various jobs. You say that they still you want to regulate the recruitment of migrant workers in unskilled and semi-skilled jobs, but you also say that there must be a demonstrable transfer of skills so that you can then have foreign nationals transferring those skills. But one may ask, aren't you asking them to work themselves out of their jobs?
it is a worldwide principle where skill transfer should be a priority, especially when you employ foreign nationals in any country. Because when you go for a foreign national, you must be going for a skill that you don't have. So when the foreign national is employed in any country, a principle of skills transfer must be attached in that program, because a country should not rely on foreign nationals on skills they don't have and do nothing to accumulate or develop those skills in that particular country. For instance, there was a stage in the education sector where mathematics and physical science teachers were running short, and a number of foreign national math and science teachers were hired. They were given a fixed term period of 1 year, sometimes 2 years, and in the process, they were transferring their skills to South African qualified educators who at some times were not able to make learners to excel as the foreign national educators did. So now in every sector, the transfer of skill for the people who are the aborigines or citizens of that country is a principle that is fair, just, and must be done. Because we are not saying they are working out themselves of the job. The truth of the matter, they are not the South Africans. At a particular point, they should go back to their respective countries when South Africa no longer needs them.
Now, Abushabisa, then one wonders, what would be a fair ratio? We saw the leader of the EFF going out to some restaurants to do, you know, some inspection to check the ratio of South Africans versus foreign nationals employed in those restaurants. As the IFP, what is your position on the question of ratios? Are you saying that there are bands of employment where, you know, there shouldn't be any, you know, employment of foreigners? You also specifically highlight certain sectors that are problematic, such as the hospitality sector, e-hailing sector, trucking sector, as some that you explicitly mention.
Definitely, there are sectors where you do not need a specialized skill. But you can go to the mining sector, the ordinary labor, you do not need a specialized skill. But at an engineering part, you will need a specialized skill which you might not have within the country, or you can have but limited and could not be spread throughout the mines we have in our country. A certain portion, therefore, should be made available for the foreign nationals. And when they are there, they will be transferring skills so that South Africa will rely on its labor at the end of the day. But in other employment sectors, you do not need any ratio. But where you need a specialized qualification, rather put a ratio so that you do not, the employer does not use the, that I'm going for this as a specialized ratio. It cannot be 90% and then you say it's a specialized ratio. That will be a sector that requires highly qualified people with specialized skill. On those areas, we will agree, which is very likely to find.
Okay.
The most areas do not need specialized people, but what you discover, foreign nationals account to 90% in the restaurant, in the truck industry, and other industries that we mentioned.
Let's take a pause there, Babuhlabisa, and we'll get into those figures because, of course, there's always this big contention about figures. I remember talking to is it Wendy Alberts, president of the South African Restaurants Association, and I said, do you keep these figures? She says, no, it's not our duty. I said, but of course, Kimin, you're the association. You should be able to keep them. Sefudi, Paswa, and Silo, I see on that line 0861987000 wanting to be in conversation with the president of the IFP, Velenkosini Hlabisa. Atle Khanekhori, give us the latest in the world of news.
9 a.m. to noon. This is Power Talk on Power 98.7.
Indeed, we continue with that conversation with IFP President Velenkosini Hlabisa looking into the private members bill to parliament by the IFP to have the Employment Services Act amended to make it crystal clear to prioritize South Africans in some areas, but also to criminalize employers taking advantage of foreign nationals who may be in the country illegally by depriving them access to some legislative entitlements that employees would ordinarily have. So I suppose that would also be a deterrence for, of course, employers not to actually employ foreign nationals, because they would still have to adhere to minimum wage issues, unionization, questions of UIF, and all these other legislative issues. But Hlabisa, perhaps let me, you know, allow some of our listeners to interact with you so that they don't hold on for too long and we open up this conversation. Sifudi, good morning to you.
Connor and the Bambino and Mr. Hlabisa.
Hello, hello, hello.
I hope he's well also, the child, the Bambino.
Apparently he's sleeping peacefully now.
You know, Connor, this issue has now become a leverage tool, and I exclude the IFP on this one, but I blame them for not pushing this issue. You know, Umtwana raised this issue when he was the Minister of Home Affairs, and he was not listened. That was the euphoria about the new dispensation, and he was dismissed with impunity. But when our politicians speak about this issue, they sometimes they say, I'm not xenophobic. I don't know where this qualification is coming from.
Yeah.
But to reverse this issue, we ought to exclude the issue of quotas, because go to Ghana, go to Zimbabwe, they don't speak quotas. The issue of quotas only applies in South Africa. And I wonder why should quotas apply in South Africa? Malema, with his juvenile tendencies, is speaking of 60-40. Who gave him the mandate? Who gave him the mandate on that? And I think this issue of immigration, you know, is going to destroy the ruling party. The ruling party slept on this issue. They become excited. They never wanted to deal with this issue. They thought this issue will die a natural death. I remember Thabo Mbeki around 2008. When people were up in arms there in Thokoza, he said, whether you like it or not, foreigners will come to this country. Now we are reaping the whirlwind of that wind. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Sifudi. Got you loud and clear there, joining us on 0861-987-000 just to make this conversation a big paswa. Good morning.
Good morning, Likona. You know, there's an idiom here. Home, we say, he who carved the bone of hunger carved it looking at his own family. So there's no way that I agree with Honorable Hlabisa there, and the IFP must find this thing to the teeth, that you can't prioritize foreigners when your home is hungry, there's nothing. That's why the English idiom says charity begins at home. ANC government, with its own malfeasant altruism, of which they were staying in camps, and our people were fighting tear gases here home. They want to open South Africa as if it's the panacea for African malfeasance and African despots that deprive their citizens of economic power. We can't sort their problem. They must go and sort themselves out.
Yeah. Is that all? Paswa? Okay, I've lost password there on 0861-987-000. Nate Hlabisa, let me just take Silo and then give you a chance to respond, and we will continue looking into some of these areas of amendments that the IFP is proposing in terms of that amendment bill on the Employment Services Act. Silo?
Hi, Lucan.
Are you well?
I'm super.
Fantastic.
Generally, I agree Nobab Hlabisa and everyone who's talking about these issues to put South Africans first. I am a mining engineer. I've worked in Mozambique. I've worked in DRC. I've worked in Tanzania. I specifically left Tanzania because there was a law in Tanzania that said I cannot work beyond 3 years that my initial contract was, and I must transfer my skills to a local. There was a specific person that I was supposed to transfer skills to. He did mining engineering here in Western Pretoria. He's a Tanzanian.
Mm.
The only way they could have extended my contract is if my stay is if they employed me in a different capacity where I will transfer different set of skills to a local. At the point when I left, the mine was not happy with the person that I was transferring the skills to because they were not up to where they wanted them to. But the local laws were such that they cannot extend my contract. They had to call in an Australian to continue with that guy. So firstly, I'm surprised why South Africa doesn't have that law. I thought it was a law in South Africa that foreigners must transfer skills to locals. And number two, I'm worried now that what are our political appetite to enforce these laws. It's nice and good to make laws, but we've got a set of laws that we've failed to implement in the past however many years. If we did not enforce these other parts of laws, how are you going to enforce these new things that we're coming up with?
Okay, got you loud and clear. Babu Hlabisa, I mean, what Silo raises on enforcement, you also make an undertaking in that proposal to say, well, look, you believe that enforcement will require additional resources, but maybe that would be offset by the resources that would accrue to South Africans, the tax base, all of that. But respond as much as you would want, Babu Hlabisa, to those three callers.
Thank you very much, Lukona. The three callers, they all agree on one thing: put South Africans first. This is a reflection of what people on the ground are crying for to our government, and Silo is a practical example. As a mining engineer that in Tanzania, he had to work for 3 years, and it was compulsory that you must transfer the skill, and this is what the IFP is saying. Now, let us come to the enforcement of this initiative the IFP is proposing. We have a government that does not put the South African citizens first. The first thing the people of South Africa should do when the election time comes, they must use their vote to remove a party that does not take them as a first priority and put in a party that prioritizes them, that makes initiatives that will need enforcement. If the IFP was a government in this country, as Sifudi indicated, Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi, when he was the Minister of Home Affairs, he made a proposal how to regulate the immigration in South Africa. We were not going to be having open borders in South Africa. The IFP is not ashamed and we are not apologetic. We do not believe in a porous borders in South Africa. We believe that our borders must be controlled. Anyone who gets into South Africa must produce relevant documents. Anyone who is in South Africa without documents must be assisted to go back to his or her original country, as is happening throughout the world. And secondly, if we were given an opportunity to rule or to govern South Africa, we will enforce this law because we have a determination that in order to change the lives of the millions of South Africans who are unemployed, has a government that is willing to put the people of South Africa first, put that government into power, which is the IFP, remove people who have been in power, but they are not committed in ensuring that South Africans are a priority to them.
Now, Abuhlabisa, of course, some have alluded to the fact that, you know, the message or the repetition of the message of put South Africa first, might spark unnecessary tensions in society. We've seen some creating operations like Dudula and stuff like that. Citizens, private citizens now taking these matters into their hands. And hence why in my opening, I commend the route that you are taking, because part of our problem is that there are deficiencies in the legislation, in the policies, and the regulations that are there, and we need to repair those and then attend to the question of enforcement. What's your view? I know that, again, in this bill, as I was reading at the sort of like the annexures at the back, the objectives, the rationale of this bill, you accept that, you know, some people say this discourse can contribute to xenophobia. How responsible should politicians be as they are tech this issue of immigration, which can be a very sensitive and explosive conversation?
The IFP, Lukona, is going to embark on an aggressive roadshow, holding public meetings, because what I like with the people of South Africa is that people of South Africa, if you take them on board, they go with you.
Mm.
We will be very clear that we are not promoting xenophobia. The foreign nationals are Africans within the continent of Africa. All what we are saying, put South Africans first. The government of the day is the one that must be punished. That we will be activating the society that take your anger and direct it to an irresponsible government that is not controlling borders, that is not putting you as a first priority. Do not attack the foreign nationals, because we have a weak government in our country. I like the people of South Africa, because when you engage them, I have seen this even on issues of protest. If there is a challenge with electricity supply, water supply, but you call public meetings, you engage people, you explain the problem, you tell them of the plan. People do not just go on a riot or on a protest and destroy whatever is in front of them. If you take them on board, that is what we are going to do. We want to call all political parties and all role players in South Africa not to utilize this situation irresponsibly for their political gains, rather engage on a constructive and responsible way of ensuring a change that will be permanent and will be able to be enforced through law as we are representing our people in parliament. Let us not worry who came up with a constructive idea that will address the concerns of millions in South Africa, but let us support the principle,
yeah,
because this principle is for the people, not only the IFP.
Got you loud and clear. I've got Stima on Twitter asking, so basically, there should be no jobs for foreigners except for highly skilled, scarce jobs. Therefore, 95% of foreigners will be jobless and they must leave regardless of whatever roots they have grown in the country. That's the question.
Definitely, we cannot afford on unskilled jobs to have those jobs employing 90% of the foreign nationals, and you have 90% of the South Africans unemployed in their country because they cannot go anywhere. It's as simple as that. We are not apologetic about that. All we are saying, the government must be responsible in the best interest of its citizens.
Okay, let me go back to that line, Abuhlabisa, and take more calls so that I give you a chance to sort of hear what our people of power have to say on that favorite dial, 0861-987-000. I am in conversation with the president of the IFP, just delving into their private members' bill to parliament, seeking to amend the Employment Services Act to prioritize South Africans, especially on unskilled, semi-skilled jobs, and calling for stringent laws to force skills training transfer in even those scarce skills areas, but also saying that if employers choose to employ, undocumented foreign nationals because they seek to employ them, those employees must be entitled to whatever employees would be in terms of our legislation, really trying to close the gaps, if I am listening correctly. Hamlet, good morning.
Good morning, Lukona. Very interesting conversation. I wish I agree with you 100% on a number of issues. Firstly, I think it is the legislative framework that really carries the aspiration of our people, but beyond just that is the enforcement of it. And I'll give you just a typical example that enforcement is possible. Babisa Bisa would know that South Africa spends just almost about 2 billion rand on ground and air deportation, and excluding security and holding areas. So this money, they've been spending it, you know, for the past, 16 years or more. Now, the former Minister of Home Affairs says that they've not really, you know, thought that, by not really, they were not concerned about really putting much security around our borders because of, they didn't think that South Africa is under any immediate threat from our neighboring countries. And to me, that was the most reckless statement I've ever heard from Minister Aaron Motsoaledi. And I remember I was on Power FM. I called that whether or not you are any under threat, our borders remains a national key point and they must be guarded. So you're the government that at first could not even appreciate what the scourge of, porous borders will do to the country. And we need, what Babisa Bisa is talking about, in many levels, I agree with it. Because of, you can't have a situation where in certain sectors, low-skill sectors, that, you've got tons and tons of, foreign nationals occupying those sectors.
Okay.
And there is no law that really protects the locals.
Hamlet,
it cannot be appreciated.
Got you loud and clear on those issues. Robert, a good morning to you.
Morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm so privileged, to participate in this very interesting conversation, but I'm one of the foreign nationals in the country.
Fantastic.
I just want to contribute to this, saying to you, my South African brothers, that especially the president of the IFP, to say, well, you see, this analysis that you are presenting is incomplete. Because you are not addressing what is it that causes international or regional migration to take place. It starts from political issues, and then from there people start moving, and then it then comes to the economic issues that you are talking about.
Yes.
But it doesn't end there. It proceeds and then it goes to the social front. Now, the impact of everything that you are talking about, it simply transgresses to a higher level where you are going to increase social problems in South Africa. For example, the moment you do that, it means you are going to push more foreign nationals on the streets who are without jobs. And believe me, those people are not going back to their respective countries because of push factors that are still in those countries.
Robert, can I ask you a question, though?
Yes,
political issues are there. They necessitate migration. Some people brand themselves as economic refugees. Babu Hlabisa was alluding to the fact that not everyone who migrates into South Africa is, a subject of political terror, which would have effect in terms of asylum seeking and so on. But, Robert, would you accept, though, that foreign nationals must be in countries legally within the prescripts of the laws of that country?
I would agree with you, my brother, but in the event of displacement, if one does not have access to such a permit, how then are they going to do it? It's impossible.
Okay.
Because look at the number of permits that are issued by Home Affairs. It's not even a significant number, my brother, to be honest with
okay.
you.
Okay, Robert, got you. Let me run. Go to Lebogang. I think the gist of your matter is registered. I want to fit in Lebogang so that Babu Hlabisa has enough time to respond to all of you. Lebogang, good morning.
Morning, Lukona. I just wanted to find out from Babu Hlabisa there, because now when we're talking about South Africa, we're not just talking about South Africa as a sovereign country. We're also talking about South Africa as a brand. And our image and our products will be boycotted if ever reckless behaviors are done. What the biggest problem that we're having that leads to illegal immigrants is people are being given 15 days, 30 days at the border, but they come in and they don't go back. What methods, like maybe contract tracing that are going to be put in place.
Okay.
And the measures that are going to be put in place for businesses that employ people that do not have paper documentation for employment.
Okay, got you loud and clear, Lebogang. Babu Hlabisa, let me give you an opportunity to respond. Quite a number of issues raised there.
Thank you very much, Lukona. Let me start with Lebogang. You see, the truth is that one would say we will be putting South Africa at a risk of being boycotted by other African countries. A practical example was made by Silo, who was a mining engineer in Tanzania. There were conditions, a period of stay, transfer your skill. When your period of stay has expired, go back to your country. South Africa in no way is going to boycott Tanzania because of that, simply because Tanzania made the people of Tanzania a priority. The tracing method, you need to have a willing government. All countries in the world, when you get into their borders, they know how long are you going to stay here and where are you going to be staying. At the expiry of your 2 weeks, you are being followed and you are being reminded that your time has expired. It will only require a willing government, the resources we have. If we are not using our resources on corruption, but using the resources to advance the cause of the people of South Africa, learning and sharing experiences from other countries of the world, the tracing method is very clear. You shouldn't allow a person to come into South Africa without proper documentation, simply by closing all places that are illegal entries and have your borders controlled. A person must show you the documents and why are you coming to South Africa. You must give a reason. You can't go to any country and say, I'm just going. It's either you say it's a visit and how long are you going to be staying?
Mm.
Where are you going to stay? They can trace you. It all requires the willingness. I agree with Hamlet. I'm sure I'm getting it right.
Yeah.
The statement by Minister Aaron Zwaneti was unfortunate, but it is not surprising coming from a leader of a ruling party that is very reckless when it comes to protecting the people of South Africa. Yes, I sympathize with my brother Robert as a foreign national.
Yes.
I'm sure you came in to say, but the truth of the matter, not all people who are in South Africa came for political reasons. If not 90% or 95%, they came to seek for jobs. Now, if he says, do you want to put these people on unemployment because you want to consume the South African? Unfortunately, yes. South Africans don't have any other country except South Africa. We are not rough. We are not xenophobic. We are not the fact of the matter. That is the truth of the matter.
Babu Hlabisa, I'm so sorry. Before we run out of time, news is almost ready. Oscar on Twitter says, does the Employment Services Act not make it illegal to employ foreign nationals unless in scarce skills? What dimension is this amendment bringing? We need enforcement, I think. And I'm looking at that subsection 2 under section 8 of the Principal Act where you are asking for its deletion, that it would actually delete subsection 2A that says the employers must satisfy themselves that there are no other persons in the Republic with suitable skills to fill a vacancy before recruiting a foreign national. Why would you want that clause deleted, Babu Hlabisa?
We would want that clause to be deleted because it does not provide a mechanism that protects the South African workers from the employees who will be reckless in terms of employing the foreign nationals. We want an employer to prove that I have done everything, I can't get these people. If the government is aware that there are so many people with this skill who are unemployed, the government should come on board to assist, because the employers are abusing the foreign nationals. They know they don't have papers. They are not going to be claiming their rights. And some of them are willing to take cheap labor. We want to fight against that.
Babu Hlabisa, time is always the enemy. But thank you ever so much for always heeding our call when we call on you.
It was a great pleasure, Lukona, as well as the listeners of Power FM. We have a responsibility to build South Africa for South African first.
Thank you very much. That's the IFP President, Velenkosini Hlabisa, taking us through that proposed private members bill to Parliament, which seeks to amend the Employment Services Act of 2014.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.